This is How Was Your Weekend with Wendy and Brian. Look for updates at facebook.com/weekendpodcast or HOWW.AS/yourweekend. While you're there, please subscribe. There are links for iTunes, Android, and more. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Wendy. How's it going?
Good. How was your weekend?
Oh, no.
Oh.
The dog.
What happened to your dog?
It's been an...
Wait, let me stop you. Am I going to cry? Because I don't want to cry.
Yeah, my dog, Charlie, who, God, I hate to put it this way. I have not given him... I have not put that much money into him. He's like a car.
a car you don't like, apparently.
I love the dog. He's a great dog. But over the last few months, I have had to spend so much money at the vet. And this weekend was no different. He had to get a treatment from the vet in respect to heartworms.
Oh, so you don't do the heartworm with any of your dogs?
I do now. I absolutely do now. I didn't know it was a big deal.
Okay.
So,
how long have you had your dogs? How many dogs do you... Okay, let's back up. Let's do an inventory of pets in the Kilby home.
Okay.
And then I can do an inventory. How about that?
Okay.
Okay. That's a really bad term for it, but that's what we're going to call it.
I have three dogs.
Okay.
One Yorkie poo, I guess, is what the word is. He's a Yorkshire Terrier poodle mix.
Mm-hmm.
He's a three years old.
Okay.
He and I share a birthday. He's my soulmate.
Oh, yes.
Max.
Yes.
Then I have two Springer Spaniel Bulldog mixes. And the only reason I don't say mutt is because the name Box Spring is so awesome. Boxer Springer Spaniel Mix.
I've never heard you refer to them as that before.
Yeah, they are so cute. They're brothers.
Okay.
They're Charlie and Chester. They're a little over 5 years old each.
First of all, I love the names. I've always loved those two names. But now the Box Spring term.
Yeah.
Yep, epic. This is something I'm going to live on here for a while with the Box Spring.
So it's interesting. They are built like Boxer Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
But they have the head of a Springer Spaniel. But their hair is short like a boxer.
No.
They're very cute dogs.
They are cute.
Whenever I have them out, like at the vet, people always comment on what striking dogs they are. And they're great dogs.
And you're like, yeah, those are my dogs.
My dogs. plus, I have three cats. Buddy, who's the best cat I've ever had. He's about 8 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
And Finn and Mackenzie, who are both Scottish Folds.
Oh, and I love them with their no little ears and their cute little faces.
Yeah.
That's the household. Well, I have no pets.
Yeah, I know. That's weird.
It is weird, but I have a history of animals, right? So I don't have my own personal pets, but I pet sit. And that's actually something I did this weekend.
Yeah.
Was pet sit, which occupies a lot of my weekends. So I could go on and on and on, but I don't have any personal pets right now. But I have a history and a love for pets. Vet clinics, all that kind of stuff.
And
your
education is in animal science.
I have a degree in animal science, and I thought about being a vet once, but I said I wasn't smart enough, and
that's
I didn't want to go to school that long.
That may be the case.
So, call me a quitter, but I said no thanks. But I still am very connected to pets. So I always tell people I have lots of dogs. I just don't have the bills associated with them.
God, do I have bills?
Yeah. So we're getting into the heartworm treatment. Which is relatively new thing. I didn't hear about it till I started working in a vet clinic in high school.
Yeah. So the heartworm thing is the newest bill that's popped up in respect to the dogs. Max, last time he was at the vet, they checked him out for heartworm. He was okay. Chester, the last time he was at the vet, they checked him out. He was okay. But for whatever reason, Charlie got skipped. So he had to be back at the vet. When I say the last time, I meant the last regular checkup.
Yeah.
But Charlie got skipped, so he's been in the vet a lot. I am on a first-name basis with my new vet. They said, oh, hey, we want to run a routine heartworm scan. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. It's like $30.
Yeah.
Okay, so they ran it. Oh, he's positive. Like, crap.
But he wasn't on preventative before that.
No.
Oh. Okay.
I never did that growing up.
And they were outdoor dogs, too. So the risk goes way up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know.
Didn't know that.
Because I was not educated in those ways.
Okay, but when you took him to the vet before, didn't you see all the posters and stuff on the wall?
I don't read posters.
Only.
That's a money racket. That's just BS.
It's true. It's just big farm companies trying to give you stuff you don't need.
Big pharma. he had heartworm, and I'd already dropped, and we'll go into it, but I already dropped probably $3,000 on him since January, and this is May.
Oof.
Before that, and he, they said, well, you know, heartworm, it can be managed. Basically, what happens if you start him on the heart prevention medicine that you should have been giving him all along, you terrible owner, what it'll do is it'll kill the larva.
Yep.
And, he will still have heartworms.
Yep.
They said you can treat the heartworms, but it may not be worth the effort, depending on age and the extensive nature of how extensive the infection is.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave him an X-ray, which was several hundred dollars.
Yep.
And they said, oh, hey, it's not that bad.
Yep.
So we can, if you want to, for about $1,500, we can give him 3 shots that will cure him of his heartworm.
And then they'll be on preventative and he'll be good.
Yeah. Turns out that it's incredibly painful.
Yes.
The shot.
Yes.
And so he came home with a lot of pain meds.
Yeah.
So I feel bad about that. And he has to he is on 24/7 rest.
Yeah.
So when I take him to walk, he has to be on a leash. Normally he just runs free in the yard and does his business and I clean it up later.
Yeah, because that taxes the heart too much, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. So,
it's basically like a dog recovering from a massive heart attack.
It is basically like a dog recovering from a massive heart attack.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, he had the first shot. In a month, he will get the second shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the day after that, he'll get the third.
Aw. Well, but the good thing is, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Because then he'll be healed up.
He will be healed up.
He'll be on his preventative, mm-hmm. and then he's got many more years of life to live.
Probably, 5, if I had to guess.
But your bank account may not recover at the time.
I mean, given his size, he's not a ginormous dog. But, yeah. His life expectancy is, 10 or 11 years.
Yeah.
So I did not weigh that in the decision. I wanted to make sure that he had a good quality of life. And that's what they said. Basically, you can manage the disease if he isn't treated, to kill the, heartworm, but, it could cause other problems, other complications that could cause health problems. So I don't want him to get I forgot. What are all, do you know off the top of your head, all of the things that heartworm can cause?
Oh, it's respiratory, it's heart, it's every, I mean, there's just so much.
Yeah.
It just, because it's part of the vascular system, it can shut down and cause so many things, stroke, neurological, everything.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just that basically they're intertwined in the heart, constricting it and cutting off blood flow and all that nastiness. So it's basically attacking the main system that keeps everything else going in your body.
Yeah.
So, but I guess my question for you is, because you know what? It's hard being a pet owner.
Yes, it is.
It's hard to love animals so much and then know that these things may or may not happen. They're not cheap. But, and also knowing, can I take care of all the animals that I want? All that kind of stuff. But I think you're doing the right thing, but through this experience, and you've had pets for quite a while in your life, right? A lot of people have pets when they're younger, and then they do as adults and, you know, keep up the trend of having pets, or some may not. But what was your biggest, learning from all of this?
So I will say this. Growing up, I cannot think of a time in my life when I didn't have a pet.
Yep.
As far as I know, there has not been a period in my life that I did not have a cat or a dog.
Yeah.
Growing up, I grew up super poor. Super poor kid. We did not take our pets to the vet. Yeah. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So once I was an adult and I had means to take care of my animals, I took care of them. Absolutely took care of them.
Yeah.
But I didn't necessarily go to the vet as frequently as I should. I would only go if there was something wrong and wouldn't do normal checkups. And I didn't even think in terms of preventative medicine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So really seriously listen to your vet.
Exactly. And I think, well, I think too, it comes down to like everything evolves, right? And what I've learned is what was going on when I was working in a vet clinic in high school in the 90s, right? The things that were preventative, the means that people went to, the treatments that were even available are so different now. I mean, just like anything, it evolves, science evolves, they're able to detect new things they've never been able to do. And along with all of that, take apart the just people love pets. The way people love their pets now from when I was in high school till to now is tremendously different to me. And I don't know if that makes any sense.
Pets are basically people's kids now.
Yeah.
That was not the case when we were teenagers.
No, they were an extension of the family, but you weren't going to sacrifice well-being for your family or maybe make some other sacrifices to save your pet like people do today. And I don't know if I think the interesting question is it a matter of people now have the means to do those things, or has the mentality just shifted that tremendously, and why? Not that it's wrong. I just think it's really intriguing, like how this whole thing has shifted so dramatically to me.
So I'm not saying that you are that way, but I just raise a point. Like, both of us are in our late 30s.
Yes.
Neither of us have kids.
No.
You don't have pets, but you do take care of pets.
Yep.
I have pets. So my pets are kind of sort of like my kids.
Yeah.
I fully realize, oh, God, I love Max.
Yes.
Like, he melts my heart. But I fully realize it's not the same thing as having like a kid.
Yep.
But it's the closest I have.
Yeah. It's companionship. At the end of the day, too, it's not your kid's not just your companion. I get that. But it's companionship. It's part of your routine, your life. It's fulfilling. And so I just think it's interesting when you come from different backgrounds and exposure to animals in a different way as well, and watch people make really tough calls, right? There's lots of things that, because the animal's in pain, you can go through means and means and means to save them. But is it the right thing for the pet?
A good friend of mine grew up on a farm.
Mm-hmm. Just like me.
Yeah.
Probably bigger than mine.
So he told me, when this is all said and done, I'll probably be $5,000 in on this dog this year, who I paid nothing for.
You're a good pet dad.
After like $1,200, my friend told me, he said, you know, I understand that you love your dog, but if it was me, and then he just made like a rifle gesture with his hand.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah.
But you mentioned like there are treatments now and everything that when you were working in vets mm-hmm. is different. January, first week of the year, I was on a trip. And the dogs stayed here. They stayed outside because they were outside dogs. They're not so much anymore.
Yeah.
They suffered an injury. Both of them did.
Mm-hmm.
Because... apparently a neighbor's dog was in heat, and guess like what I said, they weren't fixed.
These boys, they were happy.
They were, so they,
they get, were happy puppies.
They did whatever they could to get out. They did not get out, but it resulted in, an injury for both, but Charlie got the worst end of it. So I found out that, and he still has an open wound on his elbow that I was told, this weekend they could probably fix after sewing it up like four times. It would probably cost me $1,500 for a surgeon to do it. And it might end up being worth it.
Yeah.
Because it's been 4 months now. But they have laser therapy.
Yep.
That can be used to like do this. I don't even understand how laser therapy would help heal something. Apparently it does.
Yeah. Well, it's like cell generation and growth. And it's a whole... Yeah, I mean, there used to not be acupuncture for animals.
That doesn't do anything.
There's acupuncture.
That's for the pet owner, not for the pet.
Yeah. Well, if they need anxiety treatment, it's typically because their owner needs to chill out, not because the dog
Absolutely.
Does. Sorry. But I think, too, it's like there's cancer treatments. There's so, like, broken limbs. Like, the treatments are insane now. Like, the technology, and I mean that in a positive way, it is so impressive to go into a vet clinic and see the resources and means that they have to treat animals today. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's hard as a pet owner to say, I can't come up with that, you know, or what if in my old school farm brain, some things heal on their own.
Yes.
Some things eventually, if you just give it time, animals are super resilient. You're going to be surprised. They'll probably heal. Now, a vet's going to be like, but I can't, you know, make a living on.
Yeah, exactly.
Your pet's probably going to heal all that's on.
So,
this is why I'd have been a horrible vet. Yeah.
So both Charlie and Chester, they both had to go to the vet. Charlie was hospitalized for about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, if I had a dog, the same thing happened to.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll be okay in a couple months. And guess what? He always was. I never had a dog that had an injury like that that didn't survive.
Yeah.
But of course, I was panicked and I just assumed that, oh my God, he's going to die if he doesn't get treatment.
Yeah.
Hell, as a kid, the injury that he had, I had one very similar to it. And guess what?
They you just let it heal.
They didn't take me to the doctor. I still have a scar from it. I basically panicked and we took him to the vet and the vet was like, oh, this is bad. The vet made it sound like he was not going to live if he didn't get treatment.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that's the case, but if I had to guess, it's probably not the case.
Yeah. I think it's like anything else. I mean, you need to take care of your animals. I'm not going to ever be a proponent to say,
absolutely,
you don't need to take care of your animals. You need to take them to the vet. They have to have regular checkups, all that kind of stuff. But I like buying a car, bike, any other treatment for yourself. You know, vets are great, but do your own research and kind of your gut's going to tell you. And it's not like you can't go back, you know, there's some things you may not be able to. But it is interesting that, you know, vets can, to me, things that seem so simple. Now it's this very extensive healing process for things that before you could stitch up, send them home and say, you can even cut the stitches out yourself.
Yes.
What besides this has been your most impressive or interesting visit to a vet clinic or most disturbing?
So I always feel bad. I don't know if this is a convention that all vets have.
Yep.
But a candle burning when someone is having their pet put down.
Oh.
That seems to be like...
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Well, so the vet that I have here, they have a little sign that says that. You know, if the candle's burning, it means that someone is saying goodbye to their beloved pet.
Ugh.
And the vet that I had back home before moving also did the same thing.
Oh, God, I'd never heard of that before. Ugh.
So I feel bad when I'm in there and I see that.
Oh, that's... That I've never heard of that until now. And again, because I'm not going to vet clinics very much anymore. That just... Ugh. I mean, that's very respectful. I think that's very nice. But it's also, as a pet owner sitting there with your dog, I would feel extremely guilty. Like, oh.
Yeah. So one thing I really like, and this has been both vets that I, the one I use now and the one that I just moved from. I know they make a big deal over animals because they love animals and that's why they do the job.
Yeah.
And with Charlie... with Chester and with Max, you know, they're always very friendly to him, to them. They say, oh, good boy. But like whenever I take Charlie or when Charlie has to stay, they all fawn over him.
They're like, Charlie.
They all talk about what a great personality he has, what a wonderful dog he is.
Oh, poor Chester. He's like, my brother's the popular one.
And at home, we like Chester better, honestly, because he's way smarter.
Yeah, it's always the goofy, lovable ones that get all the attention. I think it's so cool to see how people interact with animals. I think that tells, I always read people and their character based on how they interact with animals. And I know at a vet clinic, rarely are you going to get people who are not excited to see your dog. But I just think the whole interaction and dynamic of people and their pets and the environments that they engage in are extremely interesting. So when you know, you might have the hyper protective dog mom who doesn't want anybody messing with her pet or dad. It doesn't have to be mom. But then you have the guy or the girl who's like, their animal's like this free, loving, awesome, just want to have fun dog. And you try to see the two people like interact and it's all very interesting and I swear that that personality of that animal is a direct correlation to the person that's raising them and caring for them.
So is that, you really think that?
You're a goofy, lovable guy, just like Charlie.
But what about Chester? Chester's not that way. I've got three dogs and they all have distinct personalities.
Well, Kim's extremely smart.
Yeah, it's true.
You think they're extreme? So you think Max is even different than those two?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So one embarrassing thing that often happens when people are over, and I don't think you've seen this yet.
No.
Max's girlfriend is his bed.
Oh, no. There's lots. Yep. There's a lot of, there are a lot of love cushions in people's houses.
The other dog's not like that at all.
Oh, really?
Not like that at all.
Huh.
Yeah.
See it? Hey, you know, you see a lot of different things. I have a friend that, and it's different ages, but I have dogs that are old that have a love cushion. I have young pups that have love cushions, but it's just, you know, to each their own. Yeah. Whatever floats your cushion. Well, I think I love going, like, I loved working in a vet clinic. So from the perspective of a pet owner, I would like to hear your perspective of what you think it's like to work in a vet clinic and what you think the personalities of the people are typically that you engage with that work at a vet clinic.
So
is that too big of a question?
I'm going to be jaded here.
Okay. Jaded.
I know they love pets.
Yes.
But also they're dealing with the public.
Correct.
So they put on a really positive face. But when I take my dog and he takes a dump in the floor, which he does every single time I go.
No, he doesn't. Really?
He's just
nervous?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Max pissed on my foot at the vet this past week. God. He
don't you take him out before you go in the vet?
I took him out twice. And he went in the parking lot.
And then he goes in and does it anyways.
He pissed on my foot.
It's like you going to the dentist. They just don't like it.
But fortunately, it was the pair of shoes that I bought at Aldi.
Oh, well, there you go.
So they didn't matter. But I know that when a dog takes a dump in the floor or something, and they're like, oh, we'll take care of it. Yeah, you are probably mostly numbed to it because you do it all the time.
Yeah.
But nobody likes that.
Well, no. I mean, it's just, that's part of the job, though. So, right, there is my very first job. Not very first job, but my job in high school was I was a kennel hand at the vet. That's how it started out. So I took care of the kennels of the dogs that were staying there from surgeries and, you know, or their families were on vacation or whatever. So I saw my fair share of anything and everything. And those people they become extremely numb to that stuff. But you know, it is one of those things if you're busy and it happens, you're just like, oh, great. But you know what? They have seen so much that is like nothing on the scale of things they have to clean up in a day.
Yeah.
Like the things that you see in a vet clinic as a person, I would like to compare it to you either are going to cut it or you're not. Because if you are too emotionally attached to any animal just because it's an animal, not because it's your animal, and you have to treat it and you have to do things to save it or, you know, treat it or whatever, and you can't separate those two in doing your job, you don't need to be working with animals. Like, you still have to have a healthy emotional desire to help that animal or whatever, but it can't stifle you. So, you know, I knew the very first time I stood in on a surgery, I was like, okay, here we go. Either I'm gonna be able to stand here and watch this neuter happen, and it was just a neuter and a spay. So two different things, but they're opening an animal up,
yeah,
right, and all that kind of stuff. And I'd been around on the farm and seen a lot of things, but the other part of it is you don't know from time to time what you're getting into. Just like a hospital, like somebody's bringing an animal in, they're hysterical. They got cut, they got hit, they got whatever. And you have to be able to just be like, how are we fixing this? Right? You're not really concerned with the person's hysteria at the moment. You're more concerned about the pet. And so I think that's the other part of people at vet clinics, right? They're really focused on the animal and their grace, and everything comes more because even though they have to work with people and they have, that's a, the other great part of their job is it's really about the animal, the thing that can't help itself, the thing that doesn't know any better, right? So it becomes a very interesting play on human emotion when you're a vet and you're in a vet clinic and, you know, you see things and you have to do things that people probably just as a pet owner are just going, just fix my pet, just fix my pet, just fix my pet. And they know things, they see things, they understand what's happening, and they're still trying to like comfort the owner, but also in their head they're like, I'm more concerned about your pet than if you're even upset, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if any of that makes any sense, but I do think that there are so many interesting things that you can learn if you work in a vet clinic. So like you have like your nephew when he goes to high school and he's looking for a job, like if he wanted to go start and work in a vet clinic, there's so much he can learn just in general life skills about working in a vet clinic.
So it's funny that you mentioned that. So I talk about my nephew Noah.
Yeah.
But my nephew Noah,
he's very young.
He's very young. But also, he is my wife's sister's son. And my wife and her sister are biologically in age pretty close together.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest brother was 22 when I was born.
Yep.
So he has kids that are nearly my age. My oldest nephew is actually in the Army right now. And his job in the Army is he's a vet tech.
That's awesome.
Because
for the military dogs.
Yes, because he, and also animals that happen to be in near the camp or whatever.
That like, get injured or whatever.
Yeah, and if they're embedded somewhere, like the locals can, he can help the locals with their pets.
Oh, that's awesome.
Or their livestock or whatever.
I didn't even think about that. That's incredible.
Yeah, so, and he wants to be a vet when he comes back. I mean, he's like...
That's awesome.
Yeah, and this was a career change. He was... Gosh, what was he? I think he was a delivery driver for a retail company.
Okay.
And he decided at 30 or nearly 30 that he wanted to join the Army because it's an Army family. My dad is in the Army. My grandfather's in the Army. His dad was in the Army.
He just wanted to serve.
Yeah. And so he's learning to become a vet.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's the thing. There's so many things that, you know, people can do that vets, there's do specialty vets. I mean, it's incredible. It's just incredible. And I loved the experience and it was heart-wrenching and it was rewarding and it was so many things that you can't get from other jobs. But like a couple things I remember my most favorite memory, and I know I've told this to you before, but my most favorite memory of working in the vet clinic and, watching the different dynamics between large animal and small animal and all that was when the older vet in the clinic, he did livestock. So one of my buddies' dad and he had brought in mama cow, and she was giving birth, but the cow was breech. So he just said, "Kason, get on your coveralls." And I was like, "Oh God, what am I signing up for?" Because with him, I just had to trust. I didn't ask questions. I just went to work, right? And I just remember walking out to the barn, and he had done the whole disinfecting the side of the cow and everything else. And then he just opens her up, and he goes, "Here, hold this." And I'm like, "What am I holding?" Because I was like, I know what's going on, but I'm just holding this because I trust him. This is his profession. And he's like, "Well, this is her uterus. You're just holding her uterus. We're going to get the calf out." And I was like, "This is awesome. I am standing here. This cow is alive, breathing, standing up. She's chill. She's good. And we're about to take her baby. And I'm holding him and her uterus in my arms."
That's crazy.
It was the most amazing thing. We get the baby out. He sews her up. He's like, "Just put it back in there." I was like, just put it back in. And he's like, "Yeah, just push it back in there. It'll fall into place." And I remember being like, gosh, this seems like it should be so much more complicated. He went through tons of learning, but that was like one of the greatest experiences in my life. And I know that's really weird, but it was so cool. And it was very simple, and it didn't disrupt anything with that cow. The calf was fine. You sew her up, you send her home, and you go on your day and you go to the next thing, you know? But the hardest part about being in the vet clinic was when people had to come put their pets down.
Yeah.
And I do not, I'm not much of a crier. I don't do it. I don't like it. But the female vet too. So when you go, and no matter how much you see or people lose pets or the vets have to put pets down, right? And you're like, oh, they do this all the time. Like, it's so hard on them still, no matter how many they have to put down. Like the vet that I worked with on the small animal side, she'd been doing it for years and years and years. And every time we had to do that, you know, we'd walk out and let the families have their moment with their pet. And we'd both just sit there and we didn't cry or anything, but we were just quiet. And it's like you got punched in the gut.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, it's so sad. And the worst ones were the old farmers with their old dogs, like these big, burly, you know, strong men. And so it is, it's a very complicated, like, environment and emotions of all sorts, but those people are incredible and they are there because they love animals. And the ones that aren't, you know, have you ever been to a vet clinic where you're like, this person really shouldn't be here?
I haven't actually.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm a little bit more critical, but I've been to a few vet clinics where I'm like, this person has no business being in here because they don't care. But I think, again, I was in an environment where I get probably a lot more judgmental about how I think people should behave and interact with animals. But, so, from a vet clinic perspective, you're going to have to go back a couple more times. And so, you said he had two more treatments?
Well, so he has two more treatments for the heartworm. My vet consulted the surgeon, and I think I mentioned that the surgeon told her that they might have to trim some flesh off of his elbow, and they could potentially sew it up and
like a skin graft?
Well, no, like remove skin.
Oh, okay.
And so, because apparently it's well padded.
Okay.
They can if they remove some of that, they can actually sew him up, and it won't bust again.
Okay. So you need to get a second job. We need to ask for donations on this podcast to pay for the rest of Charlie's healing.
Basically. Yeah, poor guy. He's been through a lot. And so I have him right now crated up. So his brother Chester is also crated up. So
just to be fair, because you're a fair parent.
Yeah.
And that's good.
So this was really sweet. When I brought Charlie home after he had been hospitalized over the weekend, Chester was so excited. He could not contain himself to see his brother back.
Oh my God. Did he cry? Did he do the whimpery cry thing?
I mean, his butt was shaking like nobody's business. It was ridiculous. And when we were trying to sleep, he would just bark and howl because he was gone. It was so pathetic.
Because they've been together since they were
born.
Babies.
Yeah.
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 That's one of my favorite thing is like when I know there's the whole, oh, they're just happy to see me when I get home thing. But it's so cool when you like your friend's dogs know you so well.
Mm-hmm.
Or like with me pet sitting, if I haven't seen a dog that I haven't watched in a long, long time, and they just get so excited to see you that they kind of do the whole crying and wiggling and the butt's moving and they're crawling on you and they don't know what to do because they're just so excited. I'm like, I don't think any of my friends are ever that excited to see me.
I know, right?
It's pretty great. But then the fact there is, I'm telling you, there is something to having dogs from the same litter. I grew up with Healer, brother and sister. And that was like the coolest bond of like pets we've ever had.
Yeah. Charlie and Chester are from the same litter. And when they were younger, they would fight a lot.
Yeah.
For dominance. And it wasn't like one was always the dominant male.
Yeah.
It would go back and forth,
mm-hmm.
I never expected that. Charlie is super sweet.
Yeah.
So oftentimes when I would feed them, he would be more interested in me petting him than him eating. And Chester, he loves food. He's all about food.
He's like, give me the grub.
But I would walk away, and then Charlie would just push Chester out of the way. But it's kind of funny now that when they're separate, Chester is way more excited for me to pet him than he does this. What I really love is I will be feeding him, and he will dart from the bowl to me so I can pet him, and then he'll dart back and forth. when it's just him. I've never seen anything like it.
He's like, I don't know what to do. I want to eat. I want you to pet me. Can you just come to the bowl and pet me? Yeah. Is really what he's saying.
Yeah, when he doesn't have to compete with Charlie, that's what he does.
Aww. Because then he's kind of sad, too, because he wants his brother.
Yeah.
That's so funny. So what else? I mean, what else? You've been on these adventures with vet clinics for like a couple months now.
Since January.
Yeah. So what else? Like, gosh, that's a full weekend sitting there and hearing about these treatments and knowing what they're doing and now the aftercare part. So what have you also learned about yourself as a pet owner because of this experience, Mr. Brian?
Charlie and Chester have always been outside dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, when I say that Charlie and Chester live outside, basically look at me like I'm a barbarian.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, dogs should live inside with the family.
Mm-hmm.
And Max does.
Yeah.
Max is also the size of a rat.
Yes.
A large rat. And another animal could come, or a hawk or something could come.
Snatch him up.
And snatch him up. But we live in a humid subtropical climate.
Yeah.
It's warm.
Yeah.
It's just interesting how when I was a kid, nobody, hardly at all, I can't think of anybody actually kept their pets inside.
Yeah.
But now it's at least a 50-50 split, if not leaning toward...
I would say it's probably like 75-25.
Yeah. But one thing I've learned, though, is that with the dogs being as large as they are,
mm-hmm.
and primarily, I mean, literally living outside their entire life, I always thought that I could never tolerate having... to go and walk them every time they have to go to the bathroom, or, you know, feed them more than once a day, because I would normally just give them all the food they were going
to
eat for the day.
They could eat when they needed to.
And they could eat when they needed to.
Yeah.
But for the last 4 months, they have started staying inside, and I walk them every time they have to go to the bathroom. And it's not that bad.
Yeah.
I just basically put them on the same schedule that Max is on.
Yeah.
And it's no big deal. But they are much heavier than Max, and they can drag me around. Kim can't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, Kim can let them out.
Yeah.
But she can't put them on a leash because they will literally
drag her
down.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I think that's an interesting thing. Yeah. Like, I remember, I think it's funny, too, you know, being where I'm from, there's winter storms and all of that. So it's a much different conversation. But dogs often were, if... you know, they weren't indoor dogs. They were farm dogs. And those dogs had the barns, and they had, or people would put them in their garages at night. You know, they were never out in the elements, but they were outdoor dogs. They didn't come in the house. And I think depending on where you live, and like to your point, it's warm here, and you provide a doghouse for them. And in the winter, you provide heat for them. Mm-hmm. Like, you keep them in an element where they're comfortable and they're not at risk. But there's also, I think people immediately jump to the extreme of when you say they're outdoor dogs. Like, they just assume they're out there laying in the dirt, you know, under a tree with no way to get away from the elements.
They're in a big... fenced in backyard.
Yeah. And it was funny. So somebody and I had this conversation not too long ago, and I'm surprised it wasn't with you, to be honest, is the doghouse becoming obsolete?
I mean, they're harder to find.
They are harder to find, which I think is incredibly interesting because, you know, there's lots of dogs that like to be outside.
I mean, I think all dogs like to be outside.
I think they'd rather be outside.
I don't know that they'd rather be outside. It's just what they grew up in.
Exactly.
Like Max... likes to go out. Max loves the snow. He is 99.99995% of the time has spent his life inside.
Yeah.
But if it snows,
he's like, yes,
it's Christmas.
Let me out.
but I think generally it boils down to what they are used to.
Yep.
But if your dogs, if all they've ever known is living outside, they're usually pretty good with it.
Well, and that's where for me, like the farm girl in me, struggles with the how I know people think, because animals are animals. Those instincts, those their ability to survive and thrive and take care of themselves, it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
It's still there. They're still going to be okay. By no means does that mean just let your dog outside and do whatever and don't take care of them. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it is funny to me. And here's a little funny story. And it's not funny, but I laughed. So to me, it was comical because it is beast versus, you know, it's still an animal.
Yeah.
So we were in New York City And this was just the perfect example of dogs are dogs. And they were brought into this world to serve their purpose, just like anything else. You know, everything has a purpose and everything has its thing it's good at. And we were in New York City getting ready to walk across the street to Central Park. And I remember I was with my mom and my cousin, and we're coming up, and I'm one of those people, I notice animals and dogs way before I notice people the time.
Most people do these days.
And most of the time, the animal's running up to me. But we were walking up to go across to Central Park right after breakfast in the morning, and I remember just looking at this guy, and he was walking a Basset Hound and a Weimaraner.
Oh.
And you know what is littering Central Park? Pigeons.
Yes.
Pigeons are everywhere. And this Weimaraner was really young. And in my brain, I immediately just went, I'm like, that Weimaraner pup is going to snatch up that pigeon. And no more than I thought that dog just grabbed that pigeon and it was done. And you just heard people go, and I started laughing out loud. And my mom was like, what are you laughing about? And I said, because that's exactly what that dog's bred to do.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he might live in this big, magnificent city, concrete jungle, but he's still a hunting dog.
Yes.
And you put a bird in front of him, that's what he's going to do. And I just am, I'm like, it's not funny, but it's funny because that's what that dog's supposed to do. And the poor guy, I felt so bad for him because he had no idea what to do. He was just like, Oh my God, my dog just killed a bird, and everybody's like appalled, and the Basset doesn't even care, and he's trying to get away, and he doesn't want to pick up the stupid pigeon and throw him away. It was just, all of it was so entertaining. But on a deeper perspective, I was like, it's an animal. It knows what it needs to do, and it knows how to take care of itself. And so I think that's the really interesting thing is, animals they're domesticated. They're called domesticated for a reason, but they're also very resilient, more resilient than we give them credit for still.
I do want to point out one thing though.
Yes.
Before we go. So yes, the dog has its natural instincts, and dogs have been bred to sometimes overemphasize certain instincts over the other.
Oh, absolutely.
But when you have like a 3-pound purse puppy and it's trying to chase after a cat that's like 5 times as big as it is, yeah, sometimes they really can't take care of themselves. But they've been bred to the point where they are totally dependent on us.
Oh yeah, they have. And I agree with that. Like I said, I think it's all the evolution of how things have become versus what they used to be, even way before what we remember. And it's true. They depend on us. And they need to. And we need to do that for them. But it's all just very intriguing how much we love our pets, how much we depend on them. Do you think about that? I think some people depend on their pets just as much as their pet depends on them.
Yeah, codependency.
Do you think that? I think so. I see that a lot.
I mean, I have always had pets for a reason.
Yeah.
I cannot remember a time in my life when I didn't have at least one.
They provide comfort and joy.
Yeah. Actually, I did. I think I had a period of a couple of months back about 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah.
And I did not like myself. Yeah.
Well, I think because I pet sit so much that's why I don't have my own. But if I ever stop pet sitting, it won't take long before I get a dog. Because having a pet is incredible.
It is.
It's expensive. It's incredibly expensive, but it's an incredible thing to do.
You know what's not incredibly expensive? Subscribing to this podcast.
I know. So
you can go to howwas/yourweekend. That's howwas/yourweekend. And you can check out our previous episodes, all 3 of them.
Exactly.
And subscribe and please tell a friend.
Exactly. Tell a friend. And then what are you doing next weekend?
I don't know yet.
Like we said, I'm going to a graduation.
Oh, that's right.
So I'll be on a plane to Happy, Kansas to celebrate Mr. Dalton Lacey's graduation. It should be a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like fun. We'll talk about it.
All right. That sounds good.
See you then.
Bye. This was How Was Your Weekend with Wendy and Brian. Please subscribe at our website, howwas/yourweekend. That's howwas/yourweekend. Please leave a review and tell a friend.